So this morning I'm going to be sharing around the theme of forgiveness. And it does tie in well with the current series that Jamie's been sharing with us. So the current series of The Making of the Fellowship, Journeying Towards Christian Community, the essence of what makes us a Christian community, what makes us church. So it does tie in well with that, but also it's been a personal topic of reflection in recent months as well. So in many ways, it's a standalone too. And I'm going to be reflecting on a few key points in particular around forgiveness. But first, I'm just wanting to share a few points that didn't quite make the cut. But we're not doing a series on forgiveness, so I'm just cramming as much in as possible. I've just realised I've got my iPad upside down. That would help. So, a few key points about what forgiveness isn't. So the first of those is forgiveness is not about letting the other person off the hook. It's not about it's not about excusing offences that people might have committed towards you or different parties. Jamie had shared just the other week, he'd said about love, but forgiveness ties in really well as well with the quote of, you can still forgive someone whilst getting a restraining order for them. And we laugh, but it's true. It's true that we can actually hold those two things in tension. They don't seem, in many ways, in our understanding of forgiveness, they often don't seem like those two things go together, but they do. We can actually still, those people can still get those consequences, those needed, necessary consequences. And forgiveness isn't about actually preventing them from having or receiving or living with the consequences of what they did. That is not what forgiveness is. So also, forgiving is not about waiting for the other person to admit or apologise or even acknowledge what they did, because you could be waiting a very, very long time, couldn't you? You could be waiting forever. That time might never come. I don't know if you've ever experienced it yourself where you're just feeling, oh, well, if they just came and they just acknowledged that with me, then I'd forgive it. Forgive them, I'd say it to their face. That's not how it works, is it really? And we have Jesus on the cross as a perfect example of this, where he says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Jesus forgives everyone, even when they don't have a clue what they've actually done wrong or they haven't actually admitted that. And you might be holding on to it, and it's making you absolutely miserable, waiting for someone to come and acknowledge that, and something that might never happen. So forgiveness is not equal to them confessing or apologising, but actually true forgiveness, it doesn't actually hinge on whether the other party admits their wrongdoing or asks for your forgiveness. And then the third point that didn't make the cut. It is not about condoning the other person's actions. So actually, true forgiveness is about being able to call it for what it is. It's not about minimizing the act or the impact that it's had on you. But true forgiveness, it's about recognizing the act for what it is and yet still forgiving them. And then finally, forgiveness is not about ceasing to feel pain. It's not about waiting until you don't feel any pain anymore and then you can forgive that person. Once you've completely moved on, doesn't bother you at all anymore, then you're in a place for forgiveness. That's not what true forgiveness is really about. So those are just a few more points that I would have loved to have crammed in, but we would have been here till tomorrow, and no one wants that, do they? But just very briefly, a little analogy about what forgiveness is. So this is an analogy shared by Rob Bell, and he talks about forgiveness being like a snorkel. So what does a snorkel do? The typical answer would be that it's how you get breath when you're underwater, just about underwater. And that's half true. Actually, a snorkel is also about the ability to breathe out properly too, and that's pretty crucial, isn't it? You can't just keep breathing in. That's not how it works, or so I've been told. Swimming underwater isn't just the inability to breathe in, but it's also the inability to breathe out as well without taking in water at the same time. So a snorkel is actually air going both ways. It's about a flow going in and out, in and out. And the way that Jesus talks about forgiveness in the Bible is about having a relational flow. A flow where you pass along to others what you have already received. And we'll return to this analogy later, but just hold that image in your mind, the in and the out of the snorkel being about this relational flow of forgiveness. All of us have been hurt by other people multiple times in our lives. I'm sure it is very safe for us to say. Small wounds like this one, I can't deal with any wounds bigger than that. I go to fainting if you came along to when I preached about breathing. It doesn't take a lot for me to faint. You can just ask Han. I can just about deal with a scrape on a knee. But for some of us, it can be small wounds. For some of us, it can be really big wounds, but we have all experienced these wounds from others. And when we experience those, we want to heal. We want to be healthy. We don't want how someone wronged us or hurt us to actually determine the rest of our lives or have a lasting detrimental effect on us. So we try to let go of those things, or we try not to think about them. We try to ignore, to forget, to stop thinking about that thing that someone did that really wounded us. And when we try to stop thinking, of course, ironically, we end up thinking about it even more, don't we? You think, or there's other times where you might think that you've moved on from it, but actually then something suddenly triggers it, and you realise that you really weren't over that thing at all, and that wound is then reopened. And so then it can become a part of you as well. What that person or what that institution did to you eats away at you, and you just can't shake it off. And then the resentment and the anger can really begin to build as well. And you can ask yourself the same questions time and time again. How could they have done this to me? Do they not even realize what they did? Or you might even want to get them back, want to seek some form of revenge. They can't get away with this. That might be something that we feel. And just an important side note there, seeking revenge is different to seeking justice. If you don't seek revenge, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be calling the police or filing that complaint. Don't confuse those two things. But actually revenge, where you just want to get that person back. You want what's coming to them. In the book of Romans, Paul says to not take revenge, but to leave room for God, which is a nice idea, isn't it? But it's really not easy to do. As human beings, we have always sought revenge throughout our entire history. There are stories and stories about it. It is an intrinsic part of humankind. You wronged me, and so I have to get you back. And we might think that we haven't actively sought revenge against people who have sought us, who have hurt us. And it might not be that you've actively done something bad to them in return or intended to do so. But actually, It might be the truth is that you're really secretly wanting them to suffer. Or maybe you hear about something bad that happened to them and something inside you is like, oh yes, they got what was coming. They deserved it. That serves them right. That's called revenge. Whether it's active or passively wanting something bad to happen to them in order to somehow make it right what happened to you, to even the score, that is revenge. And we've all done it, haven't we? In different ways, shapes and forms. And when we do that, we're ultimately trying to play God. Revenge is like saying to God, I don't trust you. I can do this better than you can, God. And I don't know about your own experiences, but revenge, it never satisfies. It never settles the score. It simply doesn't work. I don't know if you can recall a scenario where you've sought revenge. I won't get you to share with the people next to you. That could be a bit awkward. It could be the person next to you that you're seeking revenge. That could be really awkward. But you might be able to recall that kind of scenario. Maybe this is going to get really awkward now. You're turning to the person next to you and wondering. But actually, you've sought that revenge, or someone has done that to you as well. They've sought revenge against you. And in that scenario, if you recall that scenario, was there a positive outcome? Really, was there a positive outcome? Did you or the other person say, you know what, thank you for seeking revenge there. You've highlighted a really good point for me, actually. And you've really encouraged some introspection. And because you've hurt me, because I hurt you and you've hurt me in return, we're both even, we're both really happy now. We can just make peace with all of this. That's taught me a really good lesson. Thank you. No, obviously not. It just escalates, doesn't it? You bombed us. Will bomb you. It goes bigger and bigger and bigger. It's just this endless cycle of pain and resentment. And you perhaps end up doing, saying, thinking things that you would never normally do. Things that you wouldn't normally believe, things that you would normally believe are wrong, are suddenly acceptable because you think you have a right to get that person back, to feel or say or do to them something because they've hurt you first. When we think about revenge in this way, we can see that actually it's really quite primitive, isn't it? Quite barbaric. It can bring out the worst in us. And like I said, it simply doesn't work. There's one psychologist who's done a lot of work with people who have sought revenge. And he's always asked them the same questions. How will you know when you've gotten revenge? What will that feeling be when you've finally got revenge? What do you hope to accomplish by getting revenge? And this psychologist has never had one person who can properly articulate how they will know when they've got revenge or how they will actually feel. Because it never ends, does it? It always escalates. And that's why freedom is so central to so much of Jesus' teaching. Right at the heart of his message in the Gospels is about a God who has forgiven us for all of our sins. He doesn't hold any of our past against us because none of us have clean hands, do we? With Jesus, there's no condemnation, there's no list of wrongs, there's no judgment. The story of the cross is God's way of saying, I don't hold your past against you, it is finished. Jesus' death on the cross is the ultimate expression of breaking the revenge cycle, stepping away from that cycle. He takes the pain and the violence out of circulation when he dies on the cross. Not only is Jesus saying, I'm not playing this game, but actually He's saying, you have wronged me and I forgive you. And it ends here. When you decide to break the cycle of revenge and forgive the other person, it means that you are choosing to hold that pain rather than to force it back onto that other person. And actually, when you hold on to that pain that someone's inflicted onto you, you can begin to, hopefully, to begin to see why they inflicted that pain in the first place. You begin to see that that person is hurting themselves. You can begin to see and to have room in your heart to see the pain that that other person is experiencing to have done that to you in the first place. Many of us will know the well-known saying of hurt people hurt people. And that's what happens so many times when you think of the scenario of needing to forgive someone, or when you have hurt someone else, it's because you've been hurting or that other person has been hurting. But actually, when we seek to forgive rather than seeking revenge, it can create room inside of us to better understand the other person. And this is all part of the forgiveness flow. When you choose forgiveness over revenge, you're allowing yourself to breathe in and to breathe out, like the snorkel analogy, to allow the forgiveness to flow out of you, which releases you and the other party as well. I find this a really powerful quote on forgiveness. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. If we hold on to resentment and revenge over forgiveness, we're really just holding ourselves captive, preventing ourselves from experiencing the freedom that God brings to us. So if we're Christian, if we've been around church a long time, we've probably said the Our Father prayer many, many times. The words perhaps just slip off our tongues when we say, forgive us our sins or trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us. By saying this prayer, we've asked and prayed for forgiveness. And if we read those words, just notice the full correlation there between how we give and how we receive. Forgive us as we forgive. The same movement. We need to know that we need mercy. We need understanding. And then we also need to know how to give it. Each flows with the energy of the other. The flow of forgiveness. Again, in Romans, Paul says that while you were sinners, God died for you. What's he saying there? He's saying that actually the love of God extends to us even before we've got our act together. Even when we are messing up time and time and time again, God's love and forgiveness is extended to us through Christ. Not once we've sorted everything out, not once we've sorted ourselves out, but actually once we've not, and not even once we've shown forgiveness to others. It's regardless of all of that, God shows us forgiveness and love. And forgiving is about passing along to others what you have received. And if you don't, it's essentially like duct taping the top of a snorkel. That's not going to go well for you, is it, if you're underwater? You won't be able to get the air in. You won't be able to let the air out. Do you want people to forgive you and to feel released? Do you want to be able to forgive others and move on with your life? Then you need to remove the duct tape. Or conversely, another quite profound quote on forgiveness. Not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. Just sit with that one for a moment. Not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. We seem to have this idea that when we withhold forgiveness from someone, when we withhold forgiving someone, that actually they're the ones who are really suffering there. But actually, we're the ones who are suffering too. And also within this forgiving, that our sins are forgiven and that we need to forgive others too, is just the acknowledgement that we're all human. Last time I checked, we all struggle with forgiving others, don't we? One of the most important things we can do to enable the flow of forgiveness is very simple. It's to simply recognise that we're all human. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who died last year, and his daughter, Mo Tutu, focus on our fragile humanity and the good and bad that we're all capable of as the entry point for forgiveness. So I'm just going to read an extract from their book. So it's the book of forgiving. We are able to forgive because we are able to recognize our shared humanity. We are able to recognize that we are all fragile, vulnerable, flawed human beings capable of thoughtlessness and cruelty. We also recognize that no one is born evil and that we're all more than the worst thing that we have done in our lives. A human life is a great mixture of goodness, beauty, cruelty, heartbreak, indifference, love, and so much more. We want to divide the good from the bad, the saints from the sinners, but we cannot. All of us share the core qualities of our human nature, and so sometimes we are generous and sometimes selfish. Sometimes we're thoughtful and other times thoughtless. Sometimes we are kind and sometimes cruel. This is not a belief, this is a fact. No one is born a liar or a rapist or a terrorist. No one is born full of hatred. No one is born full of violence. No one is born in any less glory or goodness than you or I. But on any given day, in any given situation, in any painful life experience, this glory and goodness can be forgotten, obscured, or lost. We can easily be hurt and broken, and it is good to remember that we can just as easily be the ones who have done the hurting and the breaking. We are all members of the same family. And seeing the many ways that we are similar and how our lives are inextricably linked, we can find empathy and compassion. And in finding empathy and compassion, we are able to move in the direction of forgiving. Some really powerful words there. But ultimately, it is humble awareness of our own humanity that allows us to forgive. So the final point I'm drawing to here. Don't know if you can read that properly on the screen, but forgive and forget. We heard that saying before. Do we like that saying? Some of us might, some of us might not. Would we say it's always really helpful to have that as a saying? Or is it even always true? We have this really powerful, profound passage in the Bible between Jesus and Peter after Jesus has been resurrected. And the disciples are back in the fishing boat. They don't realize that Jesus is alive and they are collecting fish. Or they're failing to collect fish. And then Jesus is on the shore and shows them how to get the fish, and then he shares breakfast with them. And we come to this passage. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." So many of us will perhaps know the context around this story here, where Jesus asks Peter this question three times. And if we know the story of Jesus being betrayed, Peter betrays Jesus three times. He denies Jesus three times. So Jesus, in this story here, he's actually reminding Peter of what happened where he denied him three times. That might seem really quite harsh, actually. But Jesus here he's not pretending that it never happened. He's remembering what happened. But he still asks Peter if he loves him and asks for him to care for others, to feed his sheep. Jesus forgives Peter, but he doesn't actually forget. We are called to live in light of forgiveness. Sometimes we can forget some of the smaller things, or when we've wronged someone, they might be able to forget some of the smaller things. But sometimes we can't just go back to how things were before. Perhaps there's something too big that's taken place there to be able to do that. And instead, what we need to do is, whilst we remember, we need to learn to live in light of it, like Peter. We might have done something in our past that we really wish could be forgotten. Or we feel guilty because we're not able to forget how that person wronged us. And as long as we are able to come to a place of forgiving them, it's okay that we can't forget. It's okay to remember. But it's about what we do in light of that remembrance. Jesus says, "Do you love me, Simon, son of John? Let's find a way. You can begin by caring for those I care for. You can begin by feeding those I love. You can begin by loving. And in that love, we will never forget. We won't forget the pain. And in our pain, we shall seek to embody love. Imperfect, struggling love. Because that's what forgiveness comes from. And that's what forgiveness expresses as well. Love. Love is at the heart of that forgiveness flow. And some of us might be sitting here today saying, "That's all great, Nick, but actually it is really hard for me to forgive that person. What they did is just too big for me to simply forgive them." Well, I think maybe in light of today, don't just think about how you can instantly forgive them. But maybe just really focus in the coming week about how you can just think about that person, perhaps just that little bit more softly. Or maybe simply to be able to think about them or what happened just that little bit less in the week ahead. That is the first steps to it. Don't try and do it all in one go, because you're in this place already where you haven't been able to forgive them yet, and you're not just going to necessarily suddenly be able to do that. But actually, just take it a little bit at a time. But they just need to be intentional steps towards forgiveness. So just to summarize the kind of three main things that I focused on, and just encourage you guys to sit with this just for a moment. Firstly, forgiveness is not revenge. Revenge never works. If we find ourselves with those thoughts in our minds or thinking that person deserves what's coming to them, just try and check yourself there. Maybe think about how that shows that you haven't been able to forgive them yet. And what journey might you need to go on to be able to forgive them? And then the second one, we are forgiven as we forgive others. So just that reminder is that we are already forgiven by God. What you've already done wrong, forgiven. What you might be doing wrong in the present, forgiven. What you do wrong in the future, forgiven. You are forgiven. And it is that foundation, that bedrock there, that means that we too can forgive others too. It is about that flow of forgiveness, the in and the out. We need to receive and welcome in that forgiveness, to recognize it, because sometimes we really struggle to forgive ourselves, don't we? But sometimes to recognize that can free us up to then be able to forgive others too. And then finally, let's not focus on forgive and forget, but forgive and love. And we might not be able to love that other person. We might not be able to feel that we can love that other person, but just to remember that love that God has for us. And if we can even just try and replicate that in any way, shape, or form, to at least pass some of that on, then that can be making a whole world of difference. So just as I wrap this up, just for us to sit with this as a community as well, as we've been talking about what it means for us to be a Christian community, at the heart of that is forgiveness. At the heart of that is love. That actually, the people in this room, the people on Zoom, the people who come along to this church, we need to be seeking forgiveness. From them, we need to be seeking to forgive as well. We live in a world that really struggles with forgiveness, and we need to be that example to others, because we know we have a God who forgives us, who has already forgiven us and will always forgive us. So let that be our basis and our bedrock. I'm just going to pray to draw that time to a close. Loving God, we thank you for what you did on the cross. We thank you for the power of the cross that reminds us that we are forgiven. Not just once, but time and time again, that we are forever forgiven. Lord, that on the cross you said, "It is finished." Lord, may we recognize that in the coming weeks and months ahead. Actually, that's already over. All we need to do is to just embrace that forgiveness. Lord, for those of us who might be holding resentment or anger or bitterness towards another person or another group for something that they did to us, Lord, please help fill our hearts with compassion. Not so that the other people get away with it, but actually so that repairs can be made there, that we can be made whole, that we can be released from the hold that not forgiving has over us and has over them. Lord, we thank you for the abundant love that you have for every single person in this room, in this world. We ask that we can recognize that love and seek to share that with others, that that love will ultimately win, that that love will ultimately always come first. Even if it takes a little bit of time, that we can just recognize those little steps that we might need to be taking on that journey of forgiveness. And may you be at the center of that journey. Amen. I'm just going to invite Joe Kambalami up to share. And at this point in the service, we are going to be drawing it to a close over Zoom as we have just a little bit of a testimony that is shared here. But I thank you guys for joining us online, and God bless you. And I'm just going to invite Joe to come up now.